scary stories told in the dark. I'm Malcolm Blackwood, your host and storyteller. And you know where I'm from, we don't do bedtime stories. So, if that's what you were expecting, you're in the wrong place. If it's terrifying tales you're after, well, then I've got just the thing. So, get comfortable, settle in, turn off the lights, if you dare. Your night is about to get a whole lot darker. Besides, who needs sleep anyway? Good evening, listeners, and welcome back to Scary Stories Told in the Dark. I'm your host, Malcolm Blackwood. Tonight, we lift our eyes to the heavens, and our tale today serves as another reminder that fear doesn't always come from what hides in the cellar or what waits beyond the door. Sometimes it hangs quietly overhead, watching from a place we've mistaken for familiar all our lives. So, dim the lights, settle in, and steel yourself for another descent into the unknown. Before we begin, a brief word of thanks to those who support this show through our patrons area. For just $7.99 a month, our patrons gain early access to episodes, ad-free listening, and entry into a growing archive of exclusive content, all while helping us continue to produce and share stories like tonight's. And while Season 19 continues bringing you fresh thrills and chills each and every week, our patrons continue enjoying exclusive releases and bonus content throughout the year. Your support doesn't just unlock more horror, it sustains the storytellers behind it. If you'd like to join them, visit simplyscarypodcast.com or chillingtalesfordarknights.com and click on the Patrons tab to learn more. It keeps the lights on and the shadows flickering. Thank you for your support. Tonight's tale was written by author Mac Ralston, and it explores the terror that can take shape when an ordinary night outdoors gives way to something vast, intimate, and profoundly wrong. What begins as a quiet moment between father and daughter beneath the stars slowly turns into a nightmare. Without further ado, I present to you The Limb by Mac Ralston, performed by yours truly, Malcolm Blackwood. Crickets. About what I expected from M, but tonight they were literal and all around us. Finally, though, she spoke up. "How am I supposed to see him if he's in it?" she asked, pressing that tiny wrinkled face of hers into the binoculars and gritting her teeth. She had braces now, blue ones, her favorite color. And at that sight, I realized she wasn't as little as I saw her. I guess she was ready for it. She was already looking more and more like her mother each day. God, how old was she now? How old was I? I took in a breath of that crisp alpine air and rubbed her back. It was warm because of the fire, and I knew as long as we were near it, we wouldn't need the bug spray. Not yet, anyway. "He's not actually in it, Em," I said, gazing at her, gazing up at the moon. "It's a figure of speech." "What's that?" I sighed. "It means like remember when Mom used to say to you, 'Come here, Peach'?"
"Yeah,"
Em said, never once lowering the binoculars. She was a curious cat, just like her old man. "Well, are you a peach?"
"No,"
she drawled. "Right, 'cause that's a figure of speech. Just like how there's no guy actually in the moon. People just say you can see a face on its surface." I repositioned myself on the log and leaned down closer to her face. "Do you see those craters I was telling you about?"
"Yeah."
"Those are his eyes." She paused.
"Actually?"
"Well," I said, rolling my eyes until they met with the white ball in the sky. "That's what people say. People also say the moon's made of cheese, but..."
"It's made of cheese?"
At this point, M completely abandoned the whole stargazing thing and dropped the binoculars to her lap. I let out a soft chuckle and realized that if there was one thing to grab M's attention, it was cheese. Speaking of which, I remembered at that point that I had packed some, both string and cubed. "I don't know," I shrugged. "I've never tried it." "The moon?" M asked with eyebrows raised. Again, I chuckled and reached into my knapsack, pulling out the cubes. "Yeah," I winked, tossing her the Ziploc baggie of cheese cubes. "Why don't you give these moon rocks a taste and tell me?" A slick smile crossed M's face as she popped open the bag and shoved a handful of moon rocks into her mouth. I grinned. "Cheesy?" She nodded delightedly. I leaned back some, careful not to force the moss-smothered timber to roll out from under me, and peered up into the night sky as only the crickets, the crackle of the fire, and my daughter munching on cheese filled the silence that was otherwise deafening. There was hardly any light pollution up there, and the only glow to be seen was that of the milky moon and maybe a handful of fireflies. I sighed. It was now time for that dreaded talk. The talk. The whole reason I had brought him out here. "I wish Mom could have been here to tell you all this, but..." "What?" She cocked her head like a bird. I shook my long face and couldn't help but roll my eyes as a slight smile smeared across it. Victoria was so much better at these types of things. "Well, you're getting older, Em, and..." A flash of light streaked across the sky. M looked up and immediately pointed a finger into the dark clouds looming overhead. A second later, a second finger formed a peace sign, and she continued verbally. 3, 4. A crack of thunder boomed somewhere in the distance. M's hand wadded into a fist, then she turned to me. 4 miles away, Dad, she said. I nodded down at her. "Em, you're getting older, and..." I started, still looking down at her. And well, I'm proud of you," I chickened out. "Thanks, Daddy," she said. I nodded and stood just as another flash shone through the trees. Again, M started counting. 1, 2, 3. A rumble of thunder shook the ground, and I immediately threw my head over my shoulder and eyed the tent. "I think we should call it a night," I said, turning back to face M. She was already nodding in agreement, so I hoisted her up, carried her inside, and zipped her all cozy into her sleeping bag, which was blue, of course. She yawned and whispered good night to me before she turned over, and again I rubbed her back as another flash and roll of thunder ricocheted through the forest. Before I hit the sack myself, I stuffed the Ziploc of marshmallows into my knapsack and carried it off into the tree line, about 200 feet away from the fire. On an old slender oak tree where I had tied off the rope to our clothesline, I draped the knapsack full of snacks, bug sprays, and sunscreens on a limb about 6 feet or so off the ground. If there were any black bears or critters around, I wasn't going to lead them straight back to our camp. Then, once the bag was secure, I turned and started trudging through the open field of high grass toward the fire, just as the trickle of rain dotted my arm. I took a final, defeated glance back at the line of nearly dry clothes at the forest's edge and shook my head, realizing I was going to be sporting my pajamas on the hike back to the car. I awoke in a hot sweat. Flushed, I unzipped my bag and sat up, the top of the nylon fabric grazing my forehead, which was caked in sweat and draped in my bedhead. I immediately felt the cold rainwater seep through the fabric and onto my scalp, and I fell back onto the ground into the sultry sleeping bag. I shot my hand across the dark to feel for M, and that's when my nightmare manifested. She wasn't there. I unzipped the tent and thrust myself into the pattering rain, flashlight in hand, binoculars swaying from my neck. I looked around. The fire was nearly out, and all the fireflies were gone. I called out to M.
M? M!
No response. I got louder, not caring if any bears heard me.
Emma! Peach!
I was only met with a distant grumble of thunder. Not even the crickets accompanied me now. I took a step forward, closer to the dying fire, and flicked my flashlight on, aiming it at the muddy ground. It was littered with string cheese. "What the hell?" I murmured. I immediately shot the flashlight beam to the tree line. The knapsack was gone, and the distant ground was scattered with M and I's clothes. I could feel warmth stream down my face, and I realized it wasn't the rain, it was my tears. I let out a shrill cry, a gush of breath materializing from my mouth as I took a step closer to the faraway forest, unsure of what to do as the grass crunched beneath my socks. The pale moon lingered off in the distance, its oblong, faceless face mocking me. I lifted the binoculars to my eyes and peered through. M wasn't anywhere to be seen. Only the angular limbs of trees and the tethered rope that once upheld our clothes, now barren, aside from a single black tie. That's when she faded into view. M. From somewhere within the pitch-black brush of trees, she emerged, seemingly skipping. I instantly felt that spring in my footing to start galloping toward her, but something held me back. Something that turned that hot sweat of mine into a sting of sharp coldness running down my neck. Her feet weren't touching the ground. My bedhead stood on end as I realized what she was doing. She was hanging there, like how our clothes hung from the line, and through the now foggy lens of the binoculars, I could see, through my tears, that her face was drooped like a wilted flower, and that the little prance she was doing was nothing more than the thing holding her up, that limb, bouncing her ever so slightly up and down like the rattling of a cat toy. I am paralyzed here now, standing in this field across from the woods, a dead fire and flooded tent behind me. Not only because I know that isn't my daughter, and that I would never bring a tie to go camping, but I have now realized, gravely, that isn't the moon. That was The Limb by Mac Ralston, performed by yours truly, Malcolm Blackwood. There's a special kind of horror in stories that begin with tenderness, a quiet campsite, a father trying to say the right thing, a child looking up at the sky with trust still intact. And perhaps that's what makes this one linger. Not merely the violence of what happens, but the awful realization that the world can turn unfamiliar in an instant, that the things we teach our children to marvel at can suddenly become the very things we fear most. If tonight's glimpse into the dark overhead left you wanting more, remember that for just $7.99 a month, you can support the show directly and enjoy early access, ad-free listening, and exclusive bonus content in our patrons area. Season 19 is underway, and we'll be bringing you brand new frights each and every week, and our patrons will be there for all of it, plus the exclusive releases that keep the darkness close year-round. To learn more, visit simplyscarypodcast.com or chillingtalesfordarknights.com and click the Patrons tab. Your support helps us continue crafting the stories that linger long after the lights go out, and we couldn't do it without you. Thank you for helping us bring nightmares to life night after night. If you enjoyed tonight's episode, be sure to subscribe to Scary Stories Told in the Dark wherever you listen. And if you're watching on YouTube, don't forget to like, subscribe, and ring that notification bell so you never miss a new episode from Chilling Tales for Dark Nights. You can also find us on social media, including Facebook, Instagram, X, and TikTok, where we share updates, announcements, and more tales to unsettle your evenings. I'm your host, Malcolm Blackwood, and it's been a pleasure guiding you on a journey through the dark tonight. So, until next time, sleep well, listeners, if you can. Ha 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 Thank you for listening to Scary Stories Told in the Dark, a production of Chilling Entertainment and the creative team at Chilling Tales for Dark Nights, and a proud member of the Simply Scary Podcast Network. Visit simplyscarypodcast.com to learn more about our network and our other amazing storytelling programs. Tonight's program was hosted and its featured stories performed by yours truly, Malcolm Blackwood. Selected stories have been adapted with the kind permission of the respective authors. Original music provided by Eric Peabody, host and narrator of the Horror Hill podcast. Sound design, mixing, and mastering provided by Aaron Sawicki. Program artwork and logo by Craig Groshek. Got a scary tale of your own that you'd like performed? Well, I take submissions. Email it to me today at malcolm@simplyscarypodcast.com to have your terrifying tome considered for production in a future episode of this show. That's malcolm@simplyscarypodcast.com. If you've enjoyed what you heard on tonight's program and are joining us on your favorite podcast app, subscribe to us to be sure you never miss an episode, and leave a 5-star review and a comment. Your feedback means a lot to me. You can also follow Chilling Tales for Dark Nights and yours truly on Facebook, Instagram, and X, formerly Twitter, to connect anytime and get the latest updates on this and other programs. If you're listening on the Chilling Tales for Dark Nights YouTube channel, do us a favor and hit the subscribe button and the bell notification icon for CTFDN as well to get more spooky tales from me and the crew and another episode of this program each and every Sunday. And don't forget to hit that thumbs up button and tell us how we're doing and leave a kind word or request. Don't forget to visit us at chillingtalesfordarknights.com and consider supporting the team by becoming a patron. In addition to helping us out, you'll get exclusive access to our audio archive and ad-free downloads of all your favorite stories, including those you've heard on this program. As for me, I'll be back next Sunday with more terrifying tales to keep you up all night. But that's all right. Who needs sleep anyway?